This is exclusive access into the heart of racing, the Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And we're very lucky to have in the Inner Sanctum today, all the way from WA, a man who likes taking the Victorian cash, and he may be doing more of that on Saturday, champion trainer Neville Parnham. Neville, great to see you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Michael. Yeah.
This has almost been your second home. Hit and run visits recently, especially with Malibu Style. How often do you make the trip over?
As often as I can, yeah. Been here all this week. Just not very busy this week in Perth and not a lot of runners. So I got the opportunity to send my foreman back home, Mark Sestich, and he caught up with his family and his mum. She had her 80th birthday on the weekend. Wow. So it worked out really well.
The WA Mafia's been doing so well all around Australia recently. You mentioned Mark. A lot of our listeners would remember Mark for riding some champions back in the day, including Placid Arc. How long's Mark been with you?
Well, since we were both apprenticed at the same time, so that's a very long time ago, and he had a very successful riding career, and I didn't last long as a jockey, but took on the training career, and when he had a bad accident, it must be about 18 years ago now, it ended his career, and once he recovered, it took him a fair while to recover from that. He started coming around to the stables and working things out, and he finished up being my foreman, and probably 10 years now he's been my foreman, so it's been pretty good. We get on well together, so it works out fine.
Chief, the Parnham name is so famous in WA racing, and what you've been able to achieve in your training career is quite remarkable. 13 premierships, including a streak of 11 in a row.
Yeah, it was some good times was had then, all through the 2000s. It sort of coincided with I purchased a property just out of Perth, and it probably expanded the team a little bit more, but it also gave me another way of sort of training some other horses, you know, older horses and things like that who don't necessarily like being at the track all the time. We had our horses that were, you know, suited to that environment, and some just hated it and preferred to be in the city life. But we juggled that around, and through all that period, it was really, really good.
You've been in WA racing for the highs and the lows, the peaks and the troughs. Back in the 80s, the late 80s and the early 90s, it was a couple of moguls over there. Had WA racing absolutely flying, one of the first million-dollar races over there, but it was also known as the Wild West. We all remember the Rocket Racer days. What was it like living through those days in WA?
Yeah, it was pretty tough because I guess they were winning the majority of the races, the Laurie Connell days there, and Mark was actually, at one stage, he was the stable jockey there, and he had a very successful association with Buster O'Malley and Laurie Connell, and but they were winning machines, and Laurie Connell was able to spend freely, buying expensive yearlings, and had some very, very good stock over there at the time, and it was pretty hard to sort of get past him, but in the stock market crash and all those sort of things happened, and when one door closes, another one opens, and I was able to sort of edge my way in probably just after that, and all through the 90s was quite successful, and then the 2000s, and been in a while.
What was it like that period though, and were you there that day when Rocket Racer, was it 87, was it, the Perth Cup?
Oh, I don't recall the exact date, but I was there. It was a very hot day. The horse, was obviously severely dehydrated, and he was on the brink of sort of collapsing, the horse, and he'd given his all. He'd won the cup by a big space, and he had to be sort of coaxed up to the area where they could hose him down and cool him off.
Is it a better time now or a better time back then? It's probably less money these days, but do you think the way racing is in WA now, do you think it's a better environment?
Racing in WA is going pretty good at the moment. I think our stake money sort of holds up really well. There's $70,000 races that we have, and Midweeks are about 25 and 30,000. So, you know, I think the stake money holds up well. And if you sort of marry that in with the like breeder schemes, the Westbead scheme in our state, it's like the Vobis scheme here, there's still a lot more money to be won. And, you know, we're looking, you know, with a Westbead horse, we're looking around about $80,000 to the winner. So, you know, it's good money. They're just restructuring that at the moment. So, it's hard to go into, but yeah, there'll be horses are getting paid for placings like they do here as well. So, is it harder? I think it's hard all the time, to be honest with you. You know, whenever someone new comes along, at you know, they inject a little bit of money into the industry, and currently, and probably over the last maybe up to 10 years, you know, Bob Peters has been a big force there, and. He's got a big breeding scheme, probably breeds, I'd say, about 50 foals a year. He has interests in horses like Piero, and he was in Animal Kingdom and others in Vancouver, I think. So he's taken a strong interest in the stallion side. So he's breeding those type of horses, and his broodmare band is second to none. And he's been very difficult to beat in the feature races over there over the last 10 years.
Has his dominance over there been overall a positive or a negative for WA Racing to have one person so powerful and dominant?
It makes you try harder, yeah. but
can you compete?
Oh, you can compete. You know, like I've... not just myself, but, you know, plenty of other trainers have been able to sort of beat him. But last year he had a very good year, and the year before, but, you know, he got beaten the railway by a great shot. And he had a horse a few years back, when a horse I brought over here called Rommel. He had a horse in that called Disposition who was unbeaten and a very short price favourite in the guineas. But I beat him with Rommel, and, you know, I've beaten him in several races.
Did you train much for him in the past?
Had a short stint with him, must be 20 years ago now. But yeah, Bob likes his horses trained in the rural atmosphere. So he was going through a period of time there when he was having all the younger horses sort of educated on the tracks and that. And then once they turned three or beyond, they finished up in stables down near the beach and those sort of environment. That's just the way he set it up, and that's the way he likes his horses done.
What's the lifestyle of a trainer in WA like? There's been a lot of talk here in Victoria about the pressures, 24/7 racing. We have night racing, day racing, no let up. Mick Kent was in this studio on Tuesday saying that he'd like to see a day off, be it a Sunday, for trainers just to reset and refresh. What's it like over in the West?
Look, I can sort of see where he's coming from, because you know, it is a full on. Situation here in Victoria and obviously New South Wales as well, but back home Perth we generally race three days a week. There are other race meetings, but we Kalgoorlie on a Sunday or during the winter months, or you know, we could have meetings on a Sunday at Bunbury, Pinjarra, those sort of circuits which are near provincials, but generally race Wednesday, Thursday and Saturday. So it gives us all a chance to sort of get to other things we want to do, and stuff's around the stables and in the office, and connect with people. And so it's a much more relaxed atmosphere. But compared to, I mean, I sort of had, I guess, a first-hand experience in that when my son was over here. He's had a couple of stints over here in riding, and he was quite successful here. But, you know, it's just riding every day and driving everywhere, and it just, I feel for the jockeys, to be honest with you, because they have to turn up at the races to ride, and where a trainer can send his foreman or assistant trainers or whatever, so they can get a bit of a break, but it is full on, yeah.
You mentioned your boys. It's an amazing record, the Parnham family, having WA. What's that been like for you and your wife and the family? Are you nervous watchers, or are you just so used to it?
To be honest with you, no, not nervous at all. My wife's really good with it. She's not nervous at all, but until something happens, and then the heart goes in the mouth. But, you know, like I've been done this all my life. So, you know, we're talking 40 years, 45 years I've been involved in it. And, you know, you see see races every day, and you know, it's I think the whole industry sort of has their heart in their mouth when a jockey falls off, and you know, everyone sort of breathes a sigh of relief when you know, you get the signal that everything's okay. But you know, all the boys have had, you know, falls, and my eldest son Stephen, he's he had quite a nasty fall maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, and at Pinjarra, and he was had him out for a while, but he you wonder why they want to get up and do it again, but they all, it's the breed, they just want to ride. you know, they fall off one, they just want to get back straight back on, and yeah, they're brave people, yeah.
Is that Parnham blood, is it?
Well, possibly, but there's plenty of others out there.
Well, Brad himself, he's only just recently returned, a successful return last week as well.
Yeah, Brad, he probably was out for about 20 months, January, would have been about January 18 that he went out, got injured, and it was just a simple fall, just clipped a heel, and he's never really felt any pain with it, but it was, he had quite a severe neck injury, and it took a long time to sort of heal. It was just unstable, and eventually he had to have it fused, which he was trying to avoid, and they were trying to strengthen it in other ways. But when he got some bad news there about 8 months ago, saying that, you know, the fusing hadn't quite done its job, the one above it was not displaced, but yeah, unstable, and he had to really work hard to sort of, with physios and all those sort of guys, and the physio that he the physio that he was using, he was going to give him the exercises that they would give to Formula One drivers and jet pilots and things like that to strengthen their neck, and he went through a whole process of that, and eventually it was working, he thought, and until he went and had an X-ray done of it, and not being doctors and specialists, we both sat down there when he got home, and he punched it up on the screen, and he said, "Oh no, I don't think it's worked. I think it looks the same as what it was." But fortunately, we didn't have the knowledge, and the specialist did. And when he saw it on the Wednesday, he said, "No, you got the all clear. You can start riding in trials."
So yeah, that's good.
He did that for a while, and then yeah, he got back about a month ago.
It's hard working with family. Three boys, I imagine, very competitive. When you're the trainer and you've got a couple of runners in a race, how do you decide who gets the best one?
No, it's fairly easy. You know, there's no squabbling. They sort of know which ones are theirs to ride and that. And I do use other riders as well. You know, we use apprentices if we need to claim. And every now and again, Jason Brown was apprentice to me. I use him when I can. And Paddy Carberry, he was apprentice to me as well. So we use those guys, and then when Paul Harvey's ridden a bit for me as well, so we do use it. You know, they sometimes have other rides as well that may lead to that, or it's an owner's choice that they would prefer to have Paul Harvey or William Pike or whoever, you know, so, but yeah, most of my owners actually quite happy to put my boys on, so yeah.
You can't split your children, but have you got an inkling who the best rider is?
I think they're all right equally as well.
Well, we get to see Chris quite a lot over here, as you mentioned, and he has got a phenomenal record when he comes over to Melbourne. You must have been proud of what he's been able to achieve here.
Yes, it all started through Wes Hunter, actually. Wes came over and stayed with me when he had that horse he brought over for the railway and the Kingston town.
Oh, I know the one you mean.
Bad memory. Chris finished up winning the Bletchingly Stakes on it. But he brought him over, and he sort of got to know us over 2 or 3 weeks. And we were out to dinner, and Chris got suspended that day. And Wes was going home the next day. And he said, why don't you send Chris over with me for a while he's on suspension and have a look around? So we had a quick chat about it, and he was on the plane the next day, and he stayed with Wes for a little bit, and it all sort of turned for the better, because when he came home after a couple of weeks, and he rode at home, and then Wes rang up and said, "Oh, Chris rode this horse for me in the jump outs. It was a horse called Parcel. He said, I'm taking it to, I think, Bendigo. He said, can he come over and ride it on a Sunday?" So he went over and rode it, and it won, and it sort of, I guess, opened a few doors there, and people saw him ride, and And then Troy Corstens rang him a couple of weeks later and or a week later and said there was a bit of a shortage of jockeys on a, I think it was Boxing Day, and he offered him a couple of rides and he won a stakes race on one horse and I think he ran second on the other. So he then made the move in January to sort of come over and yeah, he had a, quite a successful stint while he was here.
Smoking Joey.
That's the one.
The name of the horse that won that.
Should never forget it.
Yeah, we've seen Lindsay Smith recently come over here. Unbelievable what he's done with the strike rate, Scales of Justice, who we get to see on Saturday, Group 1 winner. Have you ever thought about opening up a satellite stable or having a base here in Melbourne?
It's probably something that I'd rather sort of come here and have a bit of a hit and run. But I guess in the last 12 months, I've sort of been here more than sort of not. And it's something I'm sort of looking at the moment, whether or not I set up a little bit of a, you know, a boutique stable here. I don't know if I'd want to do it on a big scale. Be a matter of where I could, you know, set that up, whether it be around the country or wherever. I'm not too sure of the logistics of that, but you know, it's something that I'd have to consider if I want to race horses here, because the logistics of getting from Perth to Melbourne is it might sound easy, just put them on a plane and they're here in 3.5 hours, but it's sort of not quite like that. You know, it's getting a plane when you want one and that sort of thing. And obviously the expense of it too. But, you know, I've certainly got horses that would do well over here. I've sort of got the grip on what kind of horse you need here. And, you know, I personally don't think there's a lot of difference between the average horse between Victoria and Perth. Some pretty good horses in Perth. And I think a lot of them, if they raced on the East Coast, would hold their own. But, you know,
well, we've seen it in recent years that they've done exactly that, you know. Even like Simon Miller bringing horses across here as well. Is it, have people, I'm sure you've been thinking of it for a while, but to see how Lindsay Smith has done since he landed here and his strike rate, has that maybe got a few people thinking that, well, maybe we should, you know, take the jump as well?
I don't think there's anybody over there that's sort of thinking that way, but... you know, where I am with my agent sort of, you know, toning things down a little bit, it probably does open a door for me. And Mark Sestich, who has been here for the majority of the time, he enjoys Melbourne. He's got friends here as well, but it's obviously his family's at home. But yeah, we'll try and get him home as much as we can to sort of catch up with him. But, you know, it's a thought process that we need to think through. And if I want to continue to raise here, it's something I need to do. And that, it's a possibility.
Yeah. You mentioned the calibre of WA horses. You know better than most, how good are these horses that Bob's got heading towards the Everest? Arcadia Queen, firstly. The wraps and the boom on her are immense. What we've seen her do has been phenomenal over there. How good do you think she is?
She's a very exciting horse, very good horse. During that three-year-old period there, the last summer carnival, the way she put him away in that 1800 metre Kingston Town, I know she had the lighter weight, but the manner in which she put him away, it was just extraordinary. If she can reproduce that form, I'm quite confident that she would measure up to any horse in this side of the country. So I think she's the better of the two, without a doubt. And
you surprised they've gone for the 1200?
I am a little bit surprised, but I think she's a... You know, fairly adaptable. I wouldn't say she's anything past 1800 metres at a best. I'm not saying she couldn't, but I think 1800 metres is, you know, might sort of just about max it out. And I would say that's why Bob Peters has thought about the Everest. Maybe, you know, he's got a handle on things, and he's thought somewhere between 12 and 16 is her best distance, and nice and fresh. I think she'd hold her own in a race like that.
What about Enticing Star?
Good horse. Just a personal opinion. I have nothing to do with them, but I don't think she's as good as Arcadia Queen. Mm. Nowhere near as good as her, but there are some sections that believe that she is. And I know Bob thinks at the 1200 metres she would get very close, if not beat Enticing Star. Arcadia Queen, but I don't share that on what I've seen.
Who do you think's the best horse WA's produced in your time over the years?
Oh, there's been many of them, but you'd have to say Northerly. You know, he was just a champion. You know, I think he got the Greg Miles nicknamed him the Fighting Tiger, and that suited him down to the ground because many a time he looked like he was down and out, whether it be at the 600-metre mark or in the last 100 metres, but he'd find a way to win, and that's what champion qualities horses have. To call them champions, you know, they do the impossible, and he done the impossible time in, time out.
Who's the best horse you've had in your career?
Probably Playing God, you know. Yeah. He won a couple of Group 1s there, over there, the Kingston Town. He was a very good horse. I brought him over here as a three-year-old. He ran third in the Australian Guineas, which it was, really fantastic effort. And Stephen was supposed to ride him, but he had a fall on the week before at Bunbury and broke his collarbone or his wrist, and unfortunately he couldn't take them out. And I was approached by Brett Preble's manager. He must have been doing some studying, and he offered to come down and ride him from Hong Kong, and he rode him, but he was a bit stiff. I think he said to me when he got off, he said, "I zagged when I should have zigged," and he said, "I probably cost you the race," but that's racing, you know. We moved on from there, and we started him a week later in the Australian Cup, and he ran third to the Melbourne Cup winner of Mark Kafnis. Shocking. And one of Lloyd Williams' good horses. Yeah, so he ran out of his skin in that race, and Craig Newitt rode him.
You've won pretty much every major race over in WA. Is there one race that eludes you, or one that's on your bucket list, be it at home or over here?
There's probably one race at home, the Railway Stakes. Yeah. Run a few places in it, seconds and thirds and that, but I haven't actually won it. And even a guy like Bob Peters, who's won it a few times, he said it's the hardest race to win in Perth. And I agree with him, you know, because there's generally a field of many chances in the race, and you need a bit of luck to go your way, and things fall into place. But yeah, it's one race, so I wouldn't mind being able to win.
Tell us about Malibu Style and 8-year-old racing in as good as he has his entire career.
Yeah, he's probably in career best form over the last 12, 18 months. And he only came over as a bit of a companion. When I first brought him over here initially, I had Ali Kazum over here, and we decided to sort of, because I was going to be here, we'd throw him on as well. And he finished up winning the Bell Esprit that preparation in his second or third run, and seemed to like it here, so we spelled him, and we give him another prep here, and he did quite well then over the spring. I think we took him home and we got him ready again, and he's been plagued with feet trouble back home for pretty well most of his career, and he started off on a good note and with a bit of a streak, but he had sort of these feet issues where he doesn't seem to have a lot of them here. And I don't know what that reason for that is, but he certainly found a purple patch of form being over here, and it certainly wasn't intention to sort of be here as long as what he is. He's generally a fresh horse who goes four or five runs and then he needs a break, but he's lasted a fair while in this campaign, and we're just taking it race by race, you know. It could be his grand final on Saturday, but yeah, we'll just see how he goes.
And he loves the straight. What is it about the straight that he likes so much?
Now, that's a good question, you know, because we only have a straight race at Pinjarra, which he's never been in, but straight racing in Perth. But he just took a liking to it once we sort of threw him in that in a race there. And yeah, he's got a really good record there. I think he's won three up the straight, a couple of 1,000-metre races and a 1,200-metre race. So, but he always performs well.
There's another sand groper in the race, the Bobby Lewis, Rebel King. How does Malibu Style level up to Rebel King? Has he got his measure?
Back home, I would say Rebel King had Malibu Style's measure, but I think Malibu Style certainly is going really well in this state, and I would say that he might be as equal or better than him over here. And yeah, I think they're both 8-year-olds, actually. So, he's had a pretty good career over there, Rebel King. But Malibu Style, for some reason, has adapted really well here.
So to the punters on Saturday, what do you say about Malibu? Should we be having a little something on?
Definitely. You only have to go back and have a look at his jump out last Friday at Flemington. And Damien Lane took him around for us on that morning, and he he won the jump out, you know, by probably about five lengths, and he was it was really, really good, and he's come on from that jump out, and he'll strip at a very fit horse on Saturday.
Gee, the race looks good, doesn't it? On top of the ground or wet, he can handle any surface. What's his most preferred surface, do you think?
I think he likes a little bit of dampness, but as you said, he's effective on both grounds, but with the feet issues he's had back home, and that we thought that might have been one of the reasons why he's performed well here, is it's generally a little bit softer here, and fortunately we've had a good run with his feet and since he's been here, but yeah, hopefully he stays that way. And but I think he's effective on any ground, but I think he does like the cut a little bit.
You got a couple of runners today at Northam and a couple on Saturday at Belmont. Can you leave listeners with a winner?
The one in the first is be a very good chance. He's like a Jaguar. It's only a small field of about five, I think. And the one Willie Pike's riding ran very well last start. It'll be the one to beat. But my horse's runs have been around some pretty good form.
All right. Well, race one, number one, Like a Jaguar, $2.50. And then we'll roll that into Malibu on Saturday. Hey, Neville, great to get you in the studio and have a chat. And hopefully we'll see a lot more of you in Victoria in the coming months.
Yeah, well, we're looking into it, so we'll see what happens. Thank you.
You cheering on West Coast on the weekend?
Are we going to the match on Friday night? Yes. Yeah.
Good luck there as well. Another Sandgroper who is invading Victoria, and we love them all. Great to have Neville Parnham in the studio. Good luck with Malibu on Saturday. Time for a break. You're listening to Racing Pulse. It is 9:30.